Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I'm your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmers.
Well, hello, Judy, and hello, listeners. Judy, tell folks the title of today's exciting episode.
Betrayal and Forgiveness, an interview with Danny J. Johnson.
Yeah, and this was fun. I say that about just about all our interviews, don't I?
Well, we have some good people on
the show.
We have
some good people.
We've been very fortunate.
And just by way of teasers, folks, just to, you know, to keep you interested in this one, this is someone who's got a fascinating story. She describes it as a Jerry Springer story of her life.
Right.
And, you know, a truth stranger than fiction story.
Oh, yeah.
And among other things, she has experienced, and as has her current partner experienced, betrayal in former relationships. And mm-hmm. that's really, she got in touch with us because she just happened to be listening to Reigniting the Spark, mm-hmm. one of my books, and just happened to hear our podcast where we're suggesting that I'm mentioning that I'm writing a book with the working title is Betrayal, Faith, and Forgiveness.
Right, and to send us your stories.
And she responded, got in touch. And so we just did this interview, which I just think is just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and she's just so sparkly and bubbly and has great personality.
She really does. It's just a wonderful, fun person to interview.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you can tell she's parlayed that into her work, which involves you know, speaking and coaching
mm-hmm.
and really neat person. Anyway, do stay tuned for that interview. In the meantime, let's put in just some brief plugs here. I already mm-hmm. mentioned my book, Reigniting the Spark.
Right.
And we also have my more recent book.
That's right. It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy Is Wrong.
Available anywhere books are sold. And I just mentioned, and I'll reiterate, I'm in the middle of working on another book and about betrayal especially, and I am still looking for stories. If you have a story that just, you know, your own experience or someone you know, I'm looking for stories that talk about what happened and what the effects were and if you've been able to heal and recover and forgive in whatever ways. I'm interested in all of those. So do drop me a line. You can go to ctn7.com. It says, those of you watching this, see it up above our heads. CT, and that's the number 7, ctn7.com is our website. And you can message me from that. And I would invite you to do that. Also, by the way, you can sign up for my newsletter while you're there as well. And that comes out about once a month, and I have fun writing it. I think people have fun reading
mm-hmm.
it, and that's how I get
responses
from that too. I've got other responses from that.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
So, and it doesn't have to be, I just want to put in, it doesn't have to be infidelity. The betrayal
can
be financial. It could be a friendship. It could be between siblings. It could, you know, there's all kinds of betrayals in this world.
We not to get into too much detail because I don't like to, you know, promise interviews we haven't done yet,
mm-hmm.
but we have lined up an interview with somebody where the situation was disinheritance.
Yeah.
She was caught totally blindsided by being disinherited by a parent,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, who had died, and that's how she found out. So please check out all those things, and let's put in a word for our sponsor.
Ah, yes, our sponsor.
Yes, indeed.
That's Laria Silber's The Blue Tent, Erotic Tales from the Bible.
Yes, and that's the website where you can find out more information, lariazilber.com, L-A-R-I-A. Z-Y-L-B-E-R, LariaZilber.com.
Right. Very
and
spicy erotic stories.
Really, and beautifully written, and very much grounded in a deep understanding of Torah and Bible in
mm-hmm.
general.
Yep.
So if you're into that sort of thing, please go for it. We have a presentation that we've done a couple of times now
mm-hmm.
Called Jewish Perspectives on Sex, that we will be giving in Florida. We're recording this on December 15th, 2023. So in a couple of months, toward the end of February in Florida, we'll
mm-hmm.
be recording that. I mean, we'll be presenting
right.
that. And so look for that if you're in Ormond Beach, Florida. I should have looked up the
February
date before.
February 25th.
February 25th,
yeah.
Thank you. It's a Sunday.
Yeah.
We will
and
be
if you'd
there.
Like us to come to your community, let us know.
Let us know. There's other things we got presentations about as
mm-hmm.
well. That's the one we've been working on most currently. So, without further ado, let's go on to our interview with Danny J, and we will see you on the other side.
Our guest today is Danny Johnson. Danny, known to her followers as Danny J, is a TEDx speaker, personal coach, and podcast host
with a truth is stranger than fiction life story, including her discovery as an adult that she has over 100 biological siblings. That's an amazing story, and we'll be sure to ask about it. But we've invited Dani to our podcast, especially to talk about another part of her life. Dani heard one of our previous episodes in which Bruce mentioned that he's working on a book about betrayal, and she got in touch to tell us about her own experience of betrayal in a previous relationship and how it's affecting her current relationship. Dani, welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited, I guess, excited to talk about this, but I actually really am.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for getting in touch. I don't know what percentage, but a significant percentage of the folks we interview have gotten in touch with us and told us about neat things to talk about. And that's what you have done. I really appreciate that. And we always like to start by just asking people, tell us something about your own journey. I suspect that will include, well, I know you can include whatever you'd like to include in that, but you know, how did you get into the work that you do? Tell folks about that.
So the work that I do, interestingly enough, I started as a personal trainer, and I was training, and it was like the beginning of social media, you know, MySpace before Facebook even, and I was sharing a lot of what I was doing with my clients, and I started to kind of grow a following online. So this was before influencers were, that there was even a name for influencers. And I moved over to Facebook. I started to share more and more, and I grew a really big community called the Sweaty Betties. And as that community grew, then I started to have other trainers reaching out, asking how I was doing what I was doing. So I kind of merged from, got out of personal training and started teaching other trainers how to build a business online. So I really started teaching people how to do social media marketing and a little bit more of leadership, personal development. So it's kind of been this, over the last, I want to say 15 years, it's been a slow transition to where I've gone from full-on fitness to coaching others. And I even do some kind of life coaching and business coaching. A lot of my clients who would come to me, they're looking for business stuff, but it ends up being a lot more personal. And I've had so many personal life experiences. I feel like I have a lot of great experience. I'm in no means any kind of counselor or anything like that, but I have a lot of experience to draw from and help. But you know, mostly what I do now is I speak and teach and podcast on personal development and social media marketing and business.
I know that you wanted to talk about betrayal. So is it too soon to talk about that, or
actually, I'm sort of curious because we sort of put in that little teaser about you have 100 biological siblings or more than that. And I'm just, if you want to give sort of a capsule summary of some of that for folks, because that's fascinating. You know, I saw the videos you have on your website that talk about sort of discovery of that, but please tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I can kind of tie in a few things. So I have, you know, I say like I have a truth is stranger than fiction and sometimes Jerry Springer life. I feel like it's sometimes, especially over the last 7 years, there were so many things that happened back to back that I literally was constantly looking around like, am I on a hidden camera show? This cannot be, you know, this can't be real.
The Truman Show, right?
Yeah. So many things. And one of them included my husband having an affair. And it was like, it was just one thing after another, me finding out all of these things. So when I was 16, I had a little girl. I got pregnant in high school. I was 15 when I got pregnant. I placed her for adoption. And before she turned 19, we ended up meeting. And so just to like give you the context of everything, I met her a month later, found out my husband was having an affair. About 6 months after that, I found out who my biological dad was and that I had multiple siblings. And my parents had used a sperm donor and they were encouraged to never tell us, my brother and I. And so I took a DNA test years ago, and I actually took it because I had a hereditary blood disorder. And so I wanted to see what else was going on. And there was nothing, it was a 23andMe test. And there was nothing in there that shared anything about relatives. But 4 or 5 years later, I opened up 23andMe and logged in, and there was this little button that said DNA relatives. And I thought, oh, this wasn't here before. Clicked on it. And then it gave me a little warning. It said, you know, be careful. Do you really, basically it was like, before you open this Pandora's box, do you really want to go there? And I was like, yeah.
And I will mention, I had a similar experience, and I found like, third cousins. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, you go on. So, that might have been what you
So
were prepared
I
for.
found some cousins.
You found
Oh,
some like, but fairly distant cousins. Well,
like,
yeah.
like, but yeah, like second
Second
cousins.
cousins, yeah.
Yeah,
But
second
what did you
cousins.
find?
Well, I clicked it, and then the first thing I see is a girl's name, and it said half sister, and then it said anonymous half sister.
Wow.
And I was sitting there, and I grew up with one brother. That's it. So I'm like, who are these girls? And so my mom and dad, they told me they used a donor. So my first thought was, oh, this must be the donor's daughters, and they probably don't know that their dad did this. So I ended up reaching out to them, and they said, we're from a donor too. And they were completely separate. They were different, so they weren't even related to each other. So now it's two half sisters that aren't related to each other. We're all from the same donor, and it led to this trying to figure out who it was. Well, I was a little detective on this, and I found out we were connected through a first cousin. And the first cousin, the girls didn't know. So I figured the first cousin must know who our donor was. I messaged her, and sure enough, she messaged me on my birthday. And she said, I think I know who you're looking for. It's my mom's uncle. And I guess he was open about it to the family, luckily for us. So she knew. She said, he donated and he's willing to talk to you. And so I ended up talking to my biological father, who I had, no idea. I didn't know what to say to him. And he went on to tell me that he had donated for over 16 years.
Wow.
And he told me that he's started counting. He said he would go into the office and he'd go, did we get one? Meaning, like, did we get one pregnant? And he started counting some years in, and he said he stopped counting at 80. And many years went on after that. So we kind of assume, for as many times as he said he donated, that we potentially have over 200 of us, but we really don't know. And right now, since those two sisters, that was in 2017, now I think we're up to 29 that are known.
Wow.
I keep losing track because every couple of months we'll get a, little notification like you have a new sibling.
That is
So,
amazing. Wow.
and honestly, it was so many things at once. It was like this traumatic experience. And, meeting my daughter wasn't traumatic, but it was a huge event, because it was something I had thought about for, her whole life. And then that was such a high. And then literally the month later, finding my husband's affair. And it just was this roller coaster of many years of things like this over and over. And then, not only finding the dad, but then a new sibling and a new sibling and a new sibling. And just, I just kind of felt like I was getting hit in the face with constant news and rocks that just couldn't slow down.
Wow. So you actually got to meet your biological daughter.
Yes. Yeah. And she's what's really cool about that too is she is the producer and editor of my podcast.
Oh,
Oh,
that
so
is so
she's,
neat. Wow.
yeah. So
Oh.
she
So
jumped
that's
in,
wonderful. So
started
you
to
have
do.
a relationship with her. So that's
Yes, I do.
okay. Well,
yeah.
that's sweet.
And it's interesting because I don't know how old you are. To my elderly eyes, you look young. So
Yeah.
the only relevance of that comment is that I'm surprised that that I'm trying to remember when I worked with a couple to be close to 30 years ago, 25 years ago, something like that, where there had been a situation where they had a child who did not know that the biological father was a sperm donor. And that seemed unusual even then. So I'm surprised that someone,
Yeah.
somewhat younger than me even wouldn't have known that. Is that your experience? And most of the siblings you're finding, did they already know that their father was a sperm donor?
No,
Wow.
almost. I want to say only one of them did. I found that it seemed like the 70s and 80s and even early 90s, a lot of the parents were told to keep it a secret.
Right.
It looks like, and I'm in a Facebook group with. It says we are donor conceived, so a lot of donor conceived children. It seems like the mid 90s and up were when they started talking more openly about it, but I was born in the 80s. So, yeah, it's really interesting. Most of I think my donor donated from about 78 to 92, somewhere around there. And so a lot of us didn't know. In fact, most of us didn't know. And that's what was so crazy is every time somebody pops up on 23andMe, it's on us to tell them.
Oh
Because their
boy.
parents have not. So we're like, you need to go talk to your mom and dad and find out. And then they come back to we have a little group chat now with all the siblings and, kind of help each other process through the shock and everything that comes along with it.
So do you find that like some of them look like you, some of your siblings look like you, or
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Almost all of us have the same dimple on the left side, which is really crazy. The boys, not so much, but the girls really do look alike, which has been really fun.
I will note, by the way, that I saw on your website that your biological father's first name is Bruce, which I thought was
It is. Yeah. And actually he messages everybody at the holidays. And so when you sent a message back on my email, I was confused because I wasn't sure if it was his message or not. Yeah, but his name
Yeah,
is Bruce.
there aren't a lot of Bruces who aren't in their 70s or older.
Yeah,
But
yeah, yeah. I
I
think
met a
he's.
couple not that long ago who named their baby Bruce, which is the, like, I don't know anybody in our kids'
Yeah, well, probably
generation named
after their
Bruce,
grandfather.
probably after their grandfather or something.
Yeah. He's 82, I think. So yeah, that's he's out there.
Yeah, it was a popular name once.
Back in the, I'm sorry, back in those days, it was quite a
Okay.
popular name. I went to school with a number of
Yeah.
them, but not haven't met any young ones.
No.
Yeah.
No, same.
You know, it's interesting. Even we're gonna talk about betrayal, of course.
And you did bring up the affair,
You
so.
brought up the affair, yeah. And of course, I want to hear about that. And it's something you had mentioned in your email to me also about, in terms of how that's affecting a current relationship with someone who sounds very clearly has not betrayed you. And that I want to hear about that. I'm also actually curious about your feeling, because I know you mentioned this in your description on your website, when you first found out that your biological father wasn't the man you thought he was. And I don't know if that felt like a betrayal or what that was like for you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And now that you're bringing it up, you know, you tend to recreate things in your life. I'm like, is this one of those? This is one of those things. I would say one of the hardest things about finding out about my dad, and my brother just found out too. And you know, one of his struggles is that we were lied to, and it's less about knowing that your dad's not your dad, but it's like, why didn't you ever tell us? You know, why didn't we know? And I always say to the new siblings who find out, because now that I've had a few years to process it, I'm obviously much more okay with talking openly about it. But when it first came out, it was a whole shock to the system. And you can't really explain. I know some people go, what's the big deal? Your dad's your dad. And that's true. I always say it changes everything and it changes nothing, because your entire past and history and everything you think of, you start to run it through a different filter. Because I remember there was one of my cousins on my dad's side. I didn't think I looked like anybody in my family, really. Not my mom's side or my dad's, to be honest, except one cousin on my dad's side. And I go, well, I look like David. Well, turns out I'm not related to David at all. So, you know, some of those things I go through, I'm like, I wasn't even related to him. And sometimes my dad would say things like, oh, you have the Levitt thighs, or you know, he'd point out stuff that wasn't true. So I don't know if it was his denial or his just hoping it would be true. But there was a lot of that feeling of you can't trust your memories. And I think that's really similar too with when I found out about my ex-husband, was you go back and go, were there signs? Were there things I missed? And it had a very similar thing where your brain just feels like it gets hijacked and you're like in these thought loops of going down the past, trying to remember things as you thought they were, but now you know the truth. And so you remember, you look at them in a different way. And it honestly really messes you up in that way. But yes, the betrayal, the feelings were very similar, at least in the fact that you go and you kind of rewrite the past, or you look at the past completely differently.
Yeah, it's that feeling, I thought I knew you. Do you know what I mean? That comes up in
Yes.
so many different forms of betrayal. That sense that when somebody has an affair, it's like, I didn't think you would hurt me like that. You know, I assumed that we loved each other and this wouldn't happen. And I'm just imagining, you know, with respect to your parents, who clearly, of course, meant well. I mean, they were operating on the advice they were given, but that sense of, I thought I knew who you were and who I was, and how could you have lied to me about something so, you know, so consequential. And it's always that having to go, like you were saying, having to go back and sort of reevaluate your whole story of yourself.
And you know, kind of similarly is you don't trust who you are anymore. You know, you start to go, how could I have missed something so big? And this is kind of what's going on in my current relationship is, you know, we've talked about marriage. We've been together almost 5 years. And when we first met, we were like, yes, we'll get married again, of course. And then as it's gotten longer, you know, I start to think, well, when I got married, I had no doubts. I hear a lot of people who say, like, oh, my wedding day, I had doubts. And like, of course, you know, we got divorced. And I remember thinking that, and I was scared on my wedding day. I go, what if I get to the end of the aisle and I'm like, this is not what I want? But I remember so clearly on my wedding day, being at the end of the aisle, looking to the end and feeling so confident and having no doubts at all. And then I'm in this relationship and I have all these doubts, and not because of him, but because of, I didn't have doubts before and I was wrong. Yes. So now I'm like, how can I trust that it's going to be okay? And you can't. And so it's kind of rewiring all that and figuring out. And same thing with, you know, finding out about my family. It's going, well, I thought this was the right thing. I thought I was related to these people. I thought it looked like these people, and I don't. So you start to just lose so much self-trust around really everything.
Yeah, that's kind of the hallmark of betrayal, I think, is that having, you know, it's, you lose trust in your own judgment or in your own ability to protect yourself and be okay. It's so interesting what you're describing about that sense of, you know, here you are in a relationship that sounds like it's a good one. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't be worrying about it. You know, you'd be thinking about other things. And that phenomenon of, you know, once you've been hurt, and this is true of betrayal or hurt really in any way, you know, part of living long enough is you get hurt in ways you didn't think you could get hurt. And then you have to re-examine your faith in the world. It's like, wow, I didn't realize that I could get hurt like that. You know, I thought I could protect myself and it turns out I couldn't. And so, you know, to commit to someone, and I think it's especially true in not your first relationship, you know, when you've been hurt in past relationships. And we're a second marriage. We both know what that feels like.
Betrayed and lied to. In
various ways. In differing ways. Yeah. And so that phenomenon of being willing to trust someone again can't be about making yourself stupid. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can never think I could never be hurt again, because that's ridiculous. If I've ever been hurt, then I can't deny that. But, you know, how do you, I guess that's sort of the quandary you're in at the moment, right? How do you work with that and still get to be deeply committed to someone and, you know, deeply attached to someone?
And well, also what Danny's facing is like two very, very important men in your life that were the betrayal. So that brings in another element of trusting men.
Yeah.
You know, when you've had that by the two closest men, your husband and your dad.
True. You know, it's so, one of the things when I got out of my marriage was that I didn't want to be bitter about men. And so I made a really conscious effort, because I feel like, and I was 35 when I found out about my husband's affair. And I felt like there's this stereotype of the divorced, bitter, angry woman who's like man hating. And I was like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to hate men. And I don't want to think that all men are bad and all men cheat. And so I really was conscious about that. And I felt like I could be really trusting. And it was interesting, because I was single for a couple of years. And my friend and I have a podcast, and we talk a lot about, you know, what happened, because she was also went through an affair with her ex-husband. And we were like, well, we will trust again and it will be easy. And then you get into relationship and all of these brand new things and fears come up because they weren't there before. So now you're almost overcompensating and looking for them, because you don't want, it's like you want to find it first. Right. So you can't, you know, I don't want to be stuck in this for 10 years and then find out. So like, you're almost looking for, like, are you talking to other girls? Are you doing stuff? And the first maybe 4 or 5 months of my relationship with Jeff, and his ex-wife also had an affair. So we both kind of could connect on that. But also when we were the first few months, it was this weird thing around our phones. I had been dating a lot. So there was a lot of different guys that had been messaging me. So I was trying to, I called it whack-a-mole. I'm trying to get it, you know, knock him out and like be serious with just one. And, you know, there were times he was like, who are you talking to? And I like grabbed his phone one night and I was looking through it and, you know, doing these behaviors that you don't want to do, but you're doing them out of fear and protection. And so we had this moment where he wanted to see my phone. We just basically like handed each other, like, here, take my phone. We both scrolled through each other's DMs, looked through the texts. We got like out of our system. And then we kind of came to this conclusion. We're like, okay, listen, you can ask me for my phone anytime you want, but you need to ask yourself, are you doing it because you're insecure or because I'm being shady and doing something that looks like you need to, you know, look at that. And we have that kind of agreement. And the other piece was, if you're going to constantly be wanting to see what I'm doing and asking all the time, then I don't want to be in a relationship because I don't want to punish you for what my ex did to me. And I don't deserve to be punished for what your ex did to you. Mm-hmm. And so we had that conversation and then we got it out of our system. And since then, it hasn't been an issue, but it really was a lot of heightened anxiety at the beginning. And I think I was, in a way, lucky that he had been through it too, so he understood, because he's not Absolutely. Like, you're crazy, you need to see all my stuff, because he also felt very similarly.
Yeah.
So it's, in a lot of ways, I feel like we've gone a lot deeper in this relationship than even with my ex-husband, because we had to have way different conversations than I ever had with my ex-husband. And so we've had very, very deep conversations about what things mean, and just open and honest. And we've been almost more honest than I probably ever would have been, and talked about things that I wouldn't have talked about before because of the betrayal. And in those ways, I feel very safe with him. Mm-hmm. And on the still the back of my mind, have this fear about marriage and what marriage means, and like choosing someone and making the wrong choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, sure. That little niggling voice at the back of your head never quite leaves, does it? When you know, it's good that you're able to have those conversations with each other, because it does open up more possibilities of honesty in your relationship moving forward. So something good came out of it.
Well, it is interesting, you know, when you heal from some kind of trauma, it's not that I would ever recommend trauma to someone, you know, betrayal or any other kind of trauma. It's like, no, they're bad, you know, and yet very many people have told me, you know, in the course of working with them, that they appreciate the growth they've had to go through for having gone through the trauma. So I've worked with couples where there's been infidelity, you know, one cheating on the other, where the one who was cheated on has come to say, I've never had anybody say, hey, thanks for cheating. I have had people say, one particular one that I like to quote in one of my books, she said, thanks for taking one for the team, to her husband who had cheated on her, because something, you know, they looked back on it and say, well, something obviously needed to happen. We were having serious intimacy issues, not just sex, but intimacy in general. And this blew things wide open. And he still felt bad about having done it, appropriately so. But they were both appreciative of the growth they had gone through and were much better off for having done it. So, you know, you're sort of a story of that. It's like, well, yeah, it doesn't make it all comfortable, but it sure does make you smarter than you were before.
Yeah. Some parts of me, and it's interesting since we brought up my, you know, my finding out about my dad, there's parts of me that thought, would I have been better off never ever finding out? Mm. You know, if I had never known, if I had never taken a DNA test, I could have lived in that bubble my entire life and never known. And yet I've had such cool experiences meeting these siblings, and, you know, and it actually makes so much sense now of who I am, like that I met my biological dad. We are so alike in personality. It's crazy. And when I met him, I'm like, it makes so much sense. Growing up, it's never that I felt like I didn't belong, but there was a part of me that felt like I'm not quite like these people. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me a lot of answers. And so there's definitely this part of me that feels similarly, that I would have been happy if my husband never had an affair and we just were still married and still lived our life. And yet at the same time, I have a lot deeper understanding of honesty. I have a completely different relationship with just communication in general. And it's hard because there are parts of me that sometimes I'm like, I wish I never had to go through this, because the part of me that has the fear, I wish that fear was never there.
Of course.
You know, I wish I didn't have that in the back of my mind thinking I could be betrayed, somebody could leave at any point, because I was never the non-trusting. I'd never been cheated on in relationships before my marriage. And, you know, looking at someone's phone or questioning what they were doing or the untrusting behavior, I never had that. So part of me feels like, man, that ruined this maybe naive part of me. And I wish that I had some of that naive can fall in love and have this, you know, beautiful idea. But the other part of me realizes that there's just maturity and knowing. And also, I think maybe more of an appreciation for when someone's choosing you, like actively choosing you, rather than going along with the program.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, it is so interesting. You know, there's benefits either way. You know, occurring to me when you're describing, would you have been better off not knowing, like, about your biological father, or, you know, and even in terms of an affair, there are folks who say, oh, I don't care if he or she has an affair as long as I don't know about it. In other words, I don't want that to happen, but if I don't know about it, it won't hurt me, you know, which of course, by the time they're in my office, that's kind of that point has been blown. But that phenomenon of not knowing, I saw some statistic sometime in the last few years that talked about the, especially with all the DNA testing going on now, the percentage of people whose biological father isn't who they thought it was, isn't small. I mean, it's some number like 1 or 2% or something like that. It's not like, you know, it's not like, oh, 1 in 10,000 people or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not just about sperm donors. That's about cheating.
Yeah.
And that's, it is not, it's not unusual. And it used to be, there was no way to know that. You could suspect it, but there weren't any handy dandy tests that you could do. And nowadays, of course, everybody's finding it out, or many people are finding it out.
Yeah, it's real interesting. Yeah, I know. It's really interesting with that. One of my half sisters, she thought her dad, or she thought her mom had an affair. And we were like, no, well, like, let's tell you what happened. There's too many of us, unless your dad was really busy, or your mom was really, I found that too with a lot, you know, when I share my story, like all of these secrets are coming out because of DNA testing. And it's not just, it's a lot of affairs and things like that that have happened, but it's really been crazy. And then, you know, then that unearths this question too. And I have a friend who this happened to. She did the DNA test, looked, and she had matched with her brother, who she thought was her full brother, and it's a half brother. And so found out that the mom had an affair, but mom has passed away. And it's like, do we tell dad, who's raised this her whole life? And so I think at this point, they haven't said anything to him, just keep it quiet. But it does, you know, there are a lot of things of, are we better off not knowing? Or are we better off, like, you know, they say the truth will set you free, but sometimes the truth really hurts.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a part of me, you know, when I found out about the affair and all the feelings I had after, I was like, I wish I never knew this. I wish I never knew this kind of pain. And I wish I never thought this way. I wish I didn't have these negative feelings about relationships. I wish I didn't have these negative feelings about men. I wish I didn't have these negative feelings about, you know, trusting somebody. Mm-hmm. And that really sucks. And sometimes finding out the truth, you have to reevaluate everything. And really, like, unfortunately too, it feels unfair in a way. So my partner, his ex-wife, is now remarried. She's got a baby. She's moved on. She went to God and got release from her guilt. And it feels like, and my ex has kind of moved on in some similar ways. And sometimes it feels like to us, oh, they got to like hurt us and then walk away with no pain. And we're the ones stuck with dealing with the pain and what they left us with. Yeah. And that's something that also is sucky to deal with, you know?
Mm-hmm. It is. It absolutely is. I mean, you can always recast that and say, well, you've got some wisdom they don't have. But what a cost, you know, it's not at all odd to think that, you could live without that wisdom, you know, it wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to go through that kind of pain?
Yeah. It's not just pain. It's anger. Mm-hmm. It's the anger that you feel. So for that betrayal.
Yeah.
Them being able to just turn around and, you know, walk on with their lives. And it's like, really? And it's, you know, it's like the knife in my heart and you can just, you know, do that.
Yeah.
So
picking up on that theme, mm-hmm. if you're carrying that around, and of course, that's part of what I'm writing about. You know, the working title of this book is Betrayal, Faith, and Forgiveness. So when I talk about forgiveness, and there's lots, I need to do some more reading on that because lots of people have written variously about forgiveness. But I'm talking about a specific idea of forgiveness that simply means not having to be angry anymore. It has nothing to do with your relationship or nothing directly to do with your relationship with whoever hurt you. It's like, independently of whether I ever want to see them again or not, or what kind of relationship I want to have, can I let go of the anger so I can just sort of say matter-of-factly, yeah, I sure learned from that, you know, with some appreciation and some sense where you don't have to be, it isn't twisting in your heart anymore, you know? And I'm curious about your experience. Are you anywhere near that? Or do you ever feel that sometimes toward your ex, or, you know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah. You know, the forgiveness issue was interesting because at first, it was, you know, it was a lot of, again, another roller coaster. You know, when I first found out, I was really embarrassed. I felt really bad for my ex. I didn't know why. It felt really out of character, the cheating. Mm. And so my first thought was like, what's going on? Let me help you. You know, like, this is not you. We can work through this. Let's keep our marriage together.
Yeah, I just
And
want to throw in a comment on
yeah.
that because that's what I talk about when I talk about the notion of kinship. When you're still feeling kin with someone, you'll attribute bad behavior to something that says, "Oh, there must you must be hurting. Let me help you." Please
And
go
so
on.
I was very just hurt and confused. It just felt like this is not you, you know, what something is going on. Let's help you and let's work through this. And what I found out later, you know, we've talked through it, was he felt like he already ruined the marriage, so he had to like be with her. So he just told me he wanted a divorce, and I was like, well, I don't want a divorce. That's on you. If you want to file, you file, but I'm gonna leave. And in my head, I thought, go move in with this chick. You'll see it was a fantasy and it will end soon. And it did, but he didn't come around for about 6 months. And I ended up leaving the state, moving to California. He comes back 6 months later with my wedding ring in his pocket, and he pulls it out, and I go, what is that? He goes, it's your ring. And I go, like, we haven't been married. Where have you been for 6 months? It was pretty much like no contact for 6 months. And I had no idea if he had filed for divorce or anything. I was just like, I'm going to heal myself, work on myself, get out of all this pain. And so, you know, he came back around and he was trying to win me back. And he said, I'll do whatever it takes as long as it takes. And I was really confused. I wanted him to hurt as bad as I hurt. And so, and after I left, at first I was like, you know, I want you to figure out what's going on. But when he told me like he wanted a divorce, then I was angry. And then I was like, I wanted him to hurt as bad as I hurt. And when he came back and trying to get me back, and I could see he was very remorseful and he was crying and he was wanting to get our marriage back, I hated it. It made me feel terrible. And I realized I didn't want to see him hurt as bad as I hurt. Like it didn't feel as good as I thought it would. You know, I in my head and the revenge, I was like, I want him to be crying and I want him to feel this, like how much I cried and how much this hurt, but it hurt to see him hurt. And what I really wanted was for him to take responsibility and just change and do better. And so, yeah, so he said he would do whatever it took as long as it took. And I said, I need you to go counseling. You know, I made like three stipulations, which were very small. Go to counseling, get a job, move out of your dad's house. 'Cause that's, I guess, him and the girl broke up. He moved in with his dad's. He wasn't working. And so in my head, I was giving him some time, and I was really confused actually, because I had already done a lot of counseling, moved out, you know, started a new life in a new city. And I was talking to my counselor, and I go, I don't know. Like, this is what I wanted when I first left, but now I don't know if it's what I want anymore. He's coming back and he's saying kind of the right things, but I haven't seen a real change. And about 4 months into waiting around, I was in my head, I was going to give him till summer, because that's when I found it was like it would have been a year from finding out. And about 2 months before that year mark, I came across something on Facebook that somebody had a girl had tagged him on, and it was just a picture of hands, like drinks. It was a couple people, but I went to her Instagram and I s ended up seeing another picture of them together, like he was with a totally different girl. And he was telling me he would do whatever it takes as long as it takes. And I go, what is this? So I just text him and I said, hey, you know, let's get a divorce. And he's like, wow. And I said, why wow? And he goes, well, it's just hard to see, that's all. And I said, well, this is hard to see. And I sent him a screenshot of him and the girl. And so we filed that week, and we ended up going to dinner that night. And I said, hey, let's go celebrate. And he was like, why are we celebrating? I said, because I'm tired of being sad and I just want to let this go. And so we had two dogs that we kind of were going back and forth. Like, he was taking care of them while I was traveling. So for about 2 years after, well, maybe, yeah, about 2 years after me finding out about the affair up until the divorce, we were friendly. And you know, my mom passed away and I let him know. And so we've talked here and there, and the forgiveness has been really, it happened. But it took a couple of times. You know, there were times where I was like, I forgive him, but then I would see something online that would trigger me and I was just angry again. I'm like, okay, I need to let this go. But I now I'm at the point, and it's been, I guess, almost 7 years. I don't have any feelings of, you know, anger towards him or anything. Now, it's interesting though, because I have more resentment towards my current partner's ex. And I think he probably feels the way that way about my ex. Like, I'm probably more friendly with my ex, and my ex has actually offered to like meet him, and I don't think Jeff wants to meet my ex at all. My ex doesn't mind. He's like, yeah, we could talk. So it's funny. I think maybe we become protective of our new partners. So I feel like I don't like his ex, and he probably doesn't like my ex. But I'm pretty cool with I feel like I've fully released and I'm not hanging on to anger anymore. I feel like one of the reasons is him and I had a lot of conversations around it. Like, why did you do it? And what was going on? And I feel like a lot of my initial feelings were like, I wasn't good enough. Why did you have this idea, at least I did, have this idea in my head. If someone cheats, it's because, the woman's not having sex, she's nag, she's, like something she's doing. And I didn't feel like I was any of those things. I'm like, we were still having sex. I didn't feel like I was a bad wife. I don't think I'm ugly. I didn't think I was, letting myself go. None of those things that you think someone would leave you for. And so it was so confusing. And when I was finally able to really have conversations, of course, not right away because he wasn't in that headspace, but once he had broken up with that girl and we had a lot of those conversations, he was really honest. He was like, it was me. It was my stuff. It was things I was struggling with. And that gave me a lot of peace. And it allowed me to have some closure and to move on because otherwise you kind of sit there beating yourself up like you did something wrong or you weren't good enough or you're comparing yourself to that other girl or other guy. And that you can never figure that out. So forgiveness was a big piece and it was definitely a process. Definitely didn't happen overnight, but it was very consciously done, and I feel like I'm in a good place, with him and with,
Interesting.
yeah.
Yeah, you know, you need often you need the anger until you don't need it anymore. And again, to sort of protect yourself. You know, I was wondering, and I don't know, this is very hypothetical, of course, but if he had come to you in that the some months after he had left, that time he came back and he wasn't, I'm just imagining this. Of course, I obviously don't know your ex, but I'm imagining if he'd come back and said, you know, I've really been thinking about this and I'm not sure it would work, but I've been realizing why I was doing what I was doing. And I want to talk to you about that because maybe it could work, but you know, I'm realizing it was meaningful. Another, as opposed to what people usually do, as you described your ex doing, usually the person comes back and is crying and is saying, I'll never do it again. I don't, you know, how could I have lost something so precious? And they're not saying, actually, I did what I did. It was meaningful. It was wrong, but it was meaningful. I have to understand this. If you could understand it too, we might actually have a shot here. Nobody ever does that, hardly, but I'm just curious, could you imagine that? Or
Yeah, I
what
mean,
would you have responded, you know?
Yeah, I think that would have been the most ideal situation if for reconciliation. So, for reconciliation for me, I needed to just see some sense of responsibility and work on why he did what he did. Because it was very apparent that it was something within him that was, and now I know, I got a relationship coach and there were definitely things that I did where I could have been a safer space for him. I don't want to say it was my fault, but I can definitely see what dynamics kind of led to that for sure. But also he didn't speak. He didn't say what needs were being met. He didn't say what was going on within. So I didn't know. And to be honest, looking back, I don't know if I would have been able to handle that. If he had said I'm having feelings towards some girl at the gym, I don't know if I would have, I probably would have freaked out and not would have said like, oh, let's discuss this. But I think after the fact, once it was already done, yes. I think if he had come back with, I've been really digging into this and figuring it out, and this is what I've come up with, and this is what I think I was feeling, and it would have been a lot more, it would have given me a lot more opportunity to respect him and say, yeah, I think maybe we could work it out. But you're right. I mean, it was just like the apologies were great, and but it was like a little too late. And also, I had asked him if he had, when was the last time he talked to the girl that he had the affair with? And he kind of didn't answer. And I was like, was it this week? And it was like the day before. So he still was having some contact with her. And even though they weren't together, and I was just going, you got to cut it off completely too. So that was another piece where I didn't know why that was still happening. And even to this day, like I look at it, I don't follow him on Instagram, but he still follows that girl. And it's just weird to me. Those are one of those things where it's just if you're gonna come back, you got to come all the way back and you got to cut off, what you were doing.
You know, that phenomenon of someone being responsible that way. It's so interesting that abject apologies can sometimes be a way of avoiding responsibility rather than accepting it. just sort of someone beating themselves up and saying, "Oh, I've been so terrible. I know I'm terrible. I'll never do it again." Doesn't, if you start with the assumption that actually most of us aren't all terrible, so that if I've done something terrible, actually owning responsibility means saying, "Well, if it was out of character, I better look at that carefully because there was something meaningful in it." And, to do that sometimes can lay the groundwork for reconciliation. And quite a few couples I work with where there's been infidelity can reconcile. Sometimes it leads to a different kind of healing, but it's healing nonetheless, where they split up, but they don't have to be pissed off at each other that much anymore. They can come to some understanding. It sounds like where you were able to get to with your ex. You could, it took a while, as it usually does, but you could come to some understanding where you don't have to be angry anymore.
I think, and I think too, one thing I would have liked is his recognition of how much I was hurt. It's one thing to say I'm sorry for what I did, but I don't think that he, or maybe he did understand, but I don't know if a lot of people who could, who have the affair recognize how much that hurts. It's not, and maybe what they think it's about, like, oh, well, it's not that I like her more than you. It's like, it was about so much more than that. Just the lies and what did our relationship mean and what was said. And there's so many things that go through your brain that just to come back and like when he just comes back with the ring, I'm like, what is this? Like, this is, you have no idea what I've been going through, moving to another place, staying on a friend's couch, trying to figure out my life again. My dreams, I'm 35 years old and everything that I had in my mind and our future was together. And now I'm living a life that's not with someone else. And so it's just, you're like, you ruined so much. And you can't just say sorry to pick it up. It's kind of like you broke a glass vase. You can't just go, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. And you try to put it back together. Like all the pieces are all over and there's blood because you're picking it up and you're just like, it's going to be a lot harder than you think. You really messed things up a lot more than you think you did. And so I think there wasn't as much recognition of the bad behavior or the thing that he did was bad, but also the recognition of what hurt it caused wasn't, didn't feel like it was really recognized either.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
What's
Well.
that? What's that Japanese thing called when the
Oh
glass
yeah.
you put it together and you leave the imperfections in, but you find a
Yeah,
new
there's a
beauty in
term
it?
for that,
I
isn't there?
forgot
Yeah.
what that's called. Naruki?
I don't
I
know.
forgot what it's called too. But
But you know
yes,
what
I know
I'm
what you're
talking
talking about.
about. Yeah. So when you were talking about that, the vase breaking and yeah, the pieces are shattered, but then when you start rebuilding it and putting it together, it can be better.
Well, and that's indeed when couples reconcile. It's so interesting because the ones that reconcile aren't the ones who come to me and say, "We just want to go back to the way it was where things were fine," because the way it was is what led to
And it
the
wasn't
problem.
fine.
The ones that reconcile are the ones who are able to think about it and not freak out and even appreciate it. It's like, yep, our vase has been put back together, and the scar lines are
Yeah, you
beautiful.
leave the scar
You
lines.
leave them there, but it also shows our strength. And yeah, it's a great analogy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but even if you're not reconciling, moving on, and it's important to remember what you went through so that when you go into a new relationship, you know what it feels like, and you say, I'll never do that to this person,
Absolutely. I mean, there's definitely that. It's knowing how bad it was, it hurt, made me realize, a couple of things is that I think anybody has the potential to cheat. We all think that we're immune or that we wouldn't be that. If anything in our relationship, it's so, what was so crazy and what made me really compassionate towards him at first, I think if anybody had looked at us as a couple, if someone said there was an affair in that household, they would have been like, oh, it was Danny, like she probably her, because I was the one traveling more. I had more opportunities. And so it was just, and he seemed so dedicated to me and so in love with me. People like the way that he looks at you. And so it was so blindsiding. And the way that it was so blindsiding and so painful just made me think I could never do that to somebody. If I was feeling away in a relationship, I would just gracefully exit and not ever put someone through that because I know how painful it was.
Yeah, of course, even that. I've worked with folks where indeed they don't actually cheat, but then it still feels like a betrayal to someone when their partner tells them, you know, I'm having serious doubts about this relationship. So nobody's cheated,
Yeah.
yet they've sort of that they've lost that loving feeling, which, what was that, Righteous Brothers? We these are ridiculous aside, but I still have I got to look this up. Apparently, according to Sirius XM Radio, that was the most played song of the 20th century. And having being a product
Wow.
of the 20th century myself, I just find that hard to believe. You've lost that loving feeling. Anyway, the
Yeah.
sentiment, however, is very common, and
But
that's
you
fine.
digress.
But I
Sorry.
digress, which I'm apt to do.
Yeah.
No, but that phenomenon could also feel like an enormous betrayal as well, even if someone hasn't stepped outside the bounds, you
Yeah.
know? So it's,
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
the thing about loving someone is you're bound to hurt them in small ways or big. And of course, you hope and pray it's only small. And when it's small, and it's like you were saying about, you know, your initial reactions to the big betrayal of an affair, when it's small, then when you're getting along well, it doesn't even rise to the level of annoying. It's just sort of funny. You know, it's like,
Yeah.
well, that's just your quirk and I love you for it. You know, it's not a problem. When people aren't able to process that, that's when I'll get people who will come in reporting that feeling of betrayal when what the other partner did was just forgot a date or something. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? And it's like not to say that repeated experiences that aren't painful, but that, you know, it rises to an extreme level when there's no intimacy going on, when there's no, you know, when people aren't able to talk about what they like or don't like, and, you know, because they're afraid of any anxiety.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. What else should we be asking you about? And actually, let me ask you, including that question, tell folks how to get in touch with you and, you know, where to find your podcast, where to find your, you know, your website and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You know what's really cool is I randomly met this woman in a bathroom in Orange County in January, and she just made a compliment about my hair, and we started talking, and turns out she is like a documentary producer in Beverly Hills. And we got to talking, and somehow she maybe came across my website, and she messaged me. She goes, "I want to do a documentary on you."
Whoa.
And she wants to, yeah. So she's actually coming out to, I live in Las Vegas. She's flying out to Vegas on Sunday. She's going to interview my dad and my daughter. My daughter actually just moved to Vegas in March, which is some crazy full circle stuff because she grew up in California.
She's like mid-20s,
And
right? Am I doing the math right?
yeah,
Yeah.
20, she's 26. Yep, she's 26 now. And she, yeah, she's, which is crazy because that was the year I got married. And I feel like she's too young to get married. Like, no, just wait. And it's so funny because at the time I felt like I was so old. I was like too late getting married. But yeah, so we're doing a documentary, and we're actually hoping, we're trying to get 23andMe to sponsor it. So we're working on creating a pitch for that because I think it could be really, really cool. But you can find me on my on Instagram. I'm there the most. It's dannyj.com, Dannny like a boy, and then the letter J, and then spell out Dotcom. And then my website is dannyj.com. And I love sharing my story and talking about this stuff too. I think one of the reasons I started my podcast, it's called the Best Life Podcast, and we have over 450 episodes, been doing it for a couple of years now. The very first and second episode were about the affairs, and the best life is really about, hard things can happen in your life and you can still choose to make the best situation out of it. And that's really what I've tried to do and still continue to try to do. And that show, we share a lot about infidelity and just all kinds of life things that happen. But I think it's just important to recognize that we have choice in a lot of it. And one of the reasons we started the show was we said, if sharing this makes one person less feel less alone, then it's worth it. And I think that's why I want to share, because in the middle of me finding out about my ex, all I wanted to do was hide. I didn't want anybody to know. I was so embarrassed. I didn't want to tell my family. I didn't want to tell my friends. And the only reason I told my girlfriend was because she had gone through it and she had told me. And she was the only person I felt safe, because I was so afraid if I tell people my husband cheated, they're going to say, "You need to leave." They're going to judge him. They're going to say he's a bad guy. And I didn't want that because I wanted to stay. And so these conversations, I think, are really important, because if you find yourself in the middle of this, it can feel really lonely, and it's really scary to talk about it to anyone because you're afraid of other people's judgment or what they're going to tell you to do. And you already have your own ideas and confusion about what's going on, and it's very confusing. So I love that you're having this conversation, and I think the book you write is going to be really helpful, because I know for me, I was looking for so many resources. I just wanted to find other people. I was looking for resources of people who stayed, honestly. I was like, I just need to find couples who went through betrayal and they made it work, you know, because that's what I wanted. But then when that wasn't my story, I wanted to find examples of people who maybe had successful relationships after, because that was going to have to be my story. So I think what you're doing is really important work, and I'm grateful that you allow me to share some of my story too.
Well, thank you so much.
We're glad you shared it with us, and what a story.
Thank you.
The documentary.
Yeah, thank you.
Happens, let us know.
I will. Fingers crossed. I'm really hoping it works out.
That's great.
Well, that was quite a story.
It was indeed, yes.
Imagine finding out you've got over 100 half-siblings.
Yeah, that's just incredible. And all the other things she was talking about. Right. Really fascinating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope you all enjoyed that. So we can just be brief, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I put in a plug, I think it was in our last episode, anybody who sees this part of the episode and, you know, who's stuck it out all the way to the end here
and sends
an email to me saying that, I will give you a
PDF.
A PDF of one of my books.
Any of my books,
mm-hmm. And or I think I said a free download of one of my audiobooks, which actually I have a limited number of those.
It was a free download.
Yeah, I was thinking out loud as we did it. Okay. I'm doing that now too.
There you go.
Anyway, no, we want to know, you know, if anybody's sticking it out to the end, because most people don't, even if they really, you know, are into the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, but here we are. So please get in touch with us and let us know if you have any ideas for things you'd like us to include in the program as well, because that's how we do a lot of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.